All right, this is Ed Brock with American City and County, and I am talking to Dearborn, Michigan Mayor John O'Reilly. And Mr. Mayor, if you could, let's start off with just sort of some background. Tell me where this started with these rumors that Dearborn, Michigan is under Sharia law.
Well, it started with a group out of California, and I believe maybe Virginia. Actually, there are two people, David Wood and Nabil Qureshi, and they call themselves Act 17 Apologetics, and they go to events around the country where there might be Muslims, and they're a valid purpose is to convert Muslims to Christianity, but they do it in a very unusual way. They film them. They kind of, it's confrontational. They have cameras on them, so they're engaging them in dialogue about religion, but they're filming them at the same time. And I'm not sure how honest that dialogue is, but that's what they do. And they come to our event. We have an event that is sponsored by two community groups here, the American Arab Chamber of Commerce and the Access, which is a social service agency, and they do an event every year that's the Arab American Festival, and it celebrates the culture. We have other events for other culture, but they celebrate the culture from the Middle East. And so we actually do it on a business strip that has a lot of Middle Eastern businesses, and we block off the street and allow them to use it for the weekend. So it's a special event, and with all of our special events, we have the same rules that are used nationally. We actually sent two of our police officers out to training in San Diego on the national model event security training, and we adopt the same policy. So our policies are no different than any other community does when they have an event where you're going to get a couple hundred thousand people in a fairly confined site. So, people like that. We had three Christian churches. One national, international, Josh McDowell, who's an evangelist, and then we had two local Christian churches who were there, who rented booth space, and were basically proselytizing all weekend. And they've been at the site every year. So the idea that the Christian faith is represented at this festival is been a part of the event for years, and more importantly, many people from the Middle East are Christian, which some people miss. So, in addition, we have a free speech zone, where if you don't want to get a booth, you can go into the free speech zone, but we don't want people just stopping people all through the event because of traffic problems, traffic issues with the pedestrian traffic and so on. So, and we don't want flyers because they don't want to put trash and they get on the ground. So, basically, we were tested. We went to federal court in 2009 after the 2009 festival, and after that festival, the federal court upheld our rules and said that it was appropriate consideration that we had both met the threshold of free speech, but we'd also had the right to protect public safety and so on. So we were upheld in the federal court here in the Eastern District. But these people are saying that because they can't just go anywhere on the site and film people and engage them and hand out materials, that it's Sharia law.
Right.
So that's in a nutshell, in a long nutshell.
But it was also brought up by the congressional candidate Sharon Angle, I believe, right?
Yeah, well, she picked it up because how things get a buzzword, Sharia law, and everybody's, I don't think most people even know what it is, but it's basically when a government or country incorporates into the law of the country an elements of a particular faith or belief, and then that is the only one that can be advocated. And in fact, well, they like to use Sharia law because it suggests the Middle East and Muslim, and ultimately in their minds terrorism, which aren't connected, but they connect them. Well, think about Europe for many centuries. The people who came here to Dearborn 170 years ago were German Catholics who actually came to establish a Catholic church and have free practice of Catholic religion, because at that point they couldn't in their home country. And that's true of other countries. We know when the Church of England was formed and so on. So this idea that a government was controlling, you have it in every continent has some form of this. And so our founding fathers, which we believe wholeheartedly, and said, hey, guess what? The government should never get engaged in religion. It should be personal choice, and it's individual freedom to select, and the government should stay out of it. That's the basic tenet. And so, you know, we want to talk Constitution. The Constitution ensures that in the United States of America, government should never endorse, support, or in any way allow a single religion to be advocated solely.
Well, then, what I was angling in there was the question. There's obviously been several other cases of people going against, protesting against the Islamic community, and of course New York. Do you think that that is mostly a product of the elections upcoming next month, or is that possibly some sort of a permanent resurgence of this sort of anti-Islamic movement?
I think it's deeper. I think it's based on fear that comes from not understanding anything about the Islamic religion. In other words, I think the starting point here is that most people in America are unfamiliar with and don't really understand the basics of the Muslim faith. And so they're associating it with radicals and terrorism, which, of course, I would also remind everybody, if they think for a moment, that, again, almost every culture and continent has had terrorism at some time in its history. And to associate the terrorists with the religion that they profess to have followed would mean that almost every religion would have had terrorists. So we really need to take a step back and think consciously about what's really going on in the community, and let's look at facts. Because 9/11 was terrible, and we all reel from it, and it's changed our society forever. But it wasn't that Muslims did it; it was that terrorists did it. And people have been so changed by terrorists in other countries that had nothing to do with Islam or anything else. So let's focus on what we really know is terrorism is something that we've got to deal with, and it's a new reality. But we can't let our fear have us transfer, to another population. I mean, and we've seen it. I mean, when we in the West Coast, we interned a lot of people who were Japanese Americans, and it seemed to make sense at the time because we thought they're the enemy. Mm-hmm. We're going, well, let's know who the enemy is. And we've had Muslims practicing. We've had a mosque in Dearborn for almost 90 years. And we've had no conflict, no problem. No one's ever tried to control anything. So we have to take a step back and make sure that we're looking at the real facts and not letting emotions drive how we view things.
And that goes into my next question, which is going from your experience, not just with this, but with being in this community that has such a large Islamic population.
Mm-hmm.
How can city governments, other officials in other cities, handle these kind of situations where you have these conflicts between members of the community? How do you continue to promote diversity in your community as a mayor or as a city official?
Well, one of the things we do, and I think it's advisable, is you facilitate opportunities for everybody to get together and know each other and talk about issues. And I think that's really an important thing. In Dearborn, the city isn't the sponsor of it, but I support it and encourage it. We have what's called the Dearborn Area Ministerial Association, and that's people from all faiths who've elected to come together and discuss issues of faith and discuss how in Dearborn, you know, what are the issues and how do we, you know, work together and how do we educate people and, you know, and so there's a deliberate and conscious effort by our faith leaders to make sure that these misconceptions and so on aren't carried on and that people aren't acting out on those things. Then we have other opportunity commissions where we bring everybody together, a youth commission and so on. And those are valuable because you put the people at the table to get them to realize that if they are acting on sort of emotional perceptions, they begin to be able to have those challenged by the greater exposure. So that community dialogue is essential. I mean, I think that's an element that has to occur, and there has to be, We use, for example, our local cable systems to do exposures and to do things like that. We work with the schools in partnership on some opportunities to do that within our recreation programs. So you just have to be conscious that the way to get around prejudice and anxiety based on different cultures is to get them exposed to each other in a positive or proactive way.
What would you say to, or have you had a chance to say to the other city officials who are sort of on the opposite side of the coin, who want to limit the Muslim influence in their communities, who sort of support these movements?
Well, I'm an attorney as well as a mayor, and I'm not sure under what basis legally they would propose to do that. That's not what we're about. The one thing about our communities, and I hope everybody understands this, is people choose where they want to live. They're our customers. And so, people choose to live in a place because it offers the amenities they want, it's affordable, whatever they want. We shouldn't be trying to determine who moves here. We ought to make sure that we enforce reasonable standards so everybody is respectful of everybody else's rights. But we just need to work with the people who choose to be here. And I think that's a philosophy that you don't want to get lose any ground on it. It's really important. But the thing is then that people have to see that there is that idea that there's accountability and everybody is held accountable without regard to any issue about origin, race, where they came from or anything else. So the standards are the same, but everybody should be welcome and everybody should be included. And that's inclusion is a huge issue for cities. We have to learn that, everybody, so that, access for people who have disabilities is a high priority. Access to everybody in the community to the resources and so on is a priority. That's how you grow a community, rather than just a city. You're a city. I mean, Dearborn is a city, but I always refer to it as a community, because I think community is a better concept, that we are a community, that we all see ourselves engaged in the same goals.
Okay, well, I think that covers it for me. I appreciate you talking to me today.
Sure.
And that is all.